Hello and welcome to this bite-sized cooking podcast series. I'm your host, Victoria Hansen. Have you ever wondered why some women lose weight so easily without any effort at all, while you try everything possible and still it barely budges? Do you gain weight easily at the drop of a hat, or struggle to lose your post-baby bulge? You're not alone. Many women share the same frustration, me included. If you've watched the weight steadily creep on in dread and are worried that the longer you leave it, the worse it will get, then this podcast series is for you. Over the years, Narelle Stigas from Mass Attack has helped many women successfully win their weight loss battle by addressing their hormonal imbalance. And after almost 10 years of guiding women in successful weight loss, with a 92% success rate, I might add, she's about to weave her magic with me. Why don't you join us? Are your hormones making you fat? Podcast 2. In this week's podcast with Narelle Stigas from Mass Attack, we're going to share with you the assessment she made of me based on my answers to her online questionnaire. Narelle is going to prescribe the nutrients and foods I need to eat in order to balance my hormones and ideally alleviate most of my hormonal imbalance symptoms. She joins me now for installment 2. Narelle, hi. I'm so excited. I've received all my bits and pieces, but now I need you to tell me what to do with them all.
No problem. Victoria, basically what I've sent through to you is an outline of those hormonal disturbances that are contributing to your weight gain. So you'll see through your program that it's divided into sections. So the first part is I've spoken to you about glucose regulation, and that was a big area that came up with you to start with. And surprise, surprise, given the fact that you need to lose weight, it's not unusual for that to be an issue. Mm-hmm. But in particular, essentially your body was in fat-saving mode. So many of the foods that you were eating, and I'm sorry to say, the frappes have to go.
What if I use fruit that's on my green list?
If you used green listed fruit, that would be okay. However, once you actually, and this is where it's going to start to get tricky, once you actually change the natural composition of the food, but i.e. juicing it, or vitamizing it, you're actually breaking down the fibers within the food or removing them in the case of juices. So you're actually turning them into 100% sugar.
Now, I understood that with juicing. I absolutely do. I've fought with appliance companies about this on many occasions. But when you're actually pureeing that fruit and you've still got all the bulk and the skin and everything in there, I thought you still kept all of that.
You do keep it in there, but what you're doing is you're still breaking down the particles more than what your teeth normally would. Okay, so because you're breaking them down into smaller molecules, once they actually get into your system and start to be broken down, your body has to release more insulin to be able to cope with breaking those down. Now, the interesting thing is as well, is if you actually stopped and had a handful of, and I'm using blueberries as an example, mm-hmm. If you actually just stopped and had a few blueberries with your morning tea, mm-hmm. or on your muesli for breakfast, that would be fine. But when you're having a frappe, and especially if you haven't watered it down with mineral water or something else, it's almost like putting a whole punnet of blueberries in your mouth and eating them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Which is, even on a basic level, that's an enormous amount of sugar.
Yes, fair enough.
Yeah.
Interesting concept, though. I never even realised that. Yeah. And so many people don't. They think they're doing the right thing by eating all that healthy fruit. And it was all solid fruit. There was nothing else in there. I didn't add any dairy or anything to it. But you don't realise. That's exactly true. And I must say, I would make a reasonable amount of it, probably 500 mils.
See, that's an enormous amount.
I know. That is. Well, it's more than my two pieces of fruit for the day, that's for sure.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, fruit is fantastic. It's full, it's high. It's rich in nutrients. It's rich in fiber. It's fantastic. But at the end of the day, it is still sugar. So you've still got to maintain that you're not. And some fruits have a higher sugar content than other fruits, for instance. So you've sort of got to maintain, what is their natural sugar content like? I.e. mangoes are delicious, yes, because they are sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whereas B, mandarins necessarily are a little bit tart sometimes, and so they're not quite as sweet. So you can probably get away with having a few more of those than the mangoes. But if you sit down and have a whole punnet of blueberries at once, well then, hey.
I don't have the whole punnet.
Okay.
It was usually only half.
Oh, okay. There you go. Half twice a day, yeah?
It's okay. I get the gist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it is. That's something that I've identified. So that's why you'll notice in your list that I've classified different fruits and different veggies to start with on their glucose content in different areas, which is one part of what I've done in your food tables.
Okay.
And I think it's always important to provide the explanation on what I've identified over the years of in clinic practice and working with women is the explanation of what's going on with your body is really, really valuable, because then if you have an understanding of what's going on, then you're more inclined to apply it and apply it with confidence and also respect for what it is as well.
I would agree with that 100%, because if you had said to me, you can't have frappes anymore, when I believe that's a really healthy thing to eat for breakfast,
correct,
then I'm going to say, well, hang on, this is a shoddy program. I'm not going to follow your diet. But when you explain right. it the way yeah. that you have, coming from a foodie perspective and nutrition, then it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that means that you'll be able to stay healthier longer with it as well. And so you won't have to, you'll be able to get off the diet cycle, the whole, I'm thinking of that thing that goes around.
Yeah. Anyway, merry-go-round.
That's the one. Exactly. It's Friday afternoon.
Or carousel, as the posh
exactly.
people call it.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever one you prefer. The second part that I identified was adrenal balance. Now, I mean, obviously you're a very driven woman, you know, you burn the candle at both ends, which is all fantastic, and there's nothing wrong with being that in life. But at the end of the day, it does have an effect on your body. Now, that doesn't mean to say necessarily that you need to change your lifestyle in the sense and say, hey, I'm just going to give up on it all and I'm going to go and live on an island and eat coconuts or whatever.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And I'm the same. It's not going to happen with me either, because I love what I do and I love working and the same as what you do.
Mm.
It's about making sure that you're supporting your body, A, with the right food intake, and B, with other herbs or nutrients to actually work on supporting those adrenal glands and supporting your central nervous system and supporting your brain neurons to actually making sure that you're not just burning the candle at both ends. Because when you're stressed and when you're constantly running an adrenaline, A, you'll start to crave, once you get those downer days, you crave stimulants like coffee and different things like Coca-Cola and things to pick you up,
mm-hmm.
or sugar. But also B, your body releases high amounts of cortisol, which will contribute to you being in that fat-saving mode, which we were talking about before.
Right.
So that's why you'll also notice in your food tables, I've also taken out foods that will affect your adrenals and put them into your red list, or foods that are calming for your adrenals and put them into your green list.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, your food tables are massaged on that level as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and especially cortisol will actually contribute to a lot of that weight gain around the tummy zone, mm-hmm. as well. So it's the muffin top scenario. It's that whole where we just don't.
I've moved beyond that. I've got a whole cake now.
Have you? As long as it doesn't go to a double layer cake, you're fine.
Yeah, at least it's a sponge.
Yeah, a sponge is fine. You can squish it in and use those little pull-up knickers and stuff with that elastic that kind of,
trust
you know,
me,
holds
I've
it
got,
all together.
I've spent a lot of money on those lately. Yes, yes.
Yeah. The third part that I identified was menopause. And, I mean, I don't think there's many menopausal women out there that would say that they haven't gained weight during menopause. So it's one of those things that the reasons that it does normally happen is, A, you've had all those years beforehand to put you into fat saving mode, whether it be stress, whether it be autoimmune disturbances, whether it be also, you know, medications, surgery, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they can have an effect on putting you in fat saving mode, and all those habits of coffee and all that sort of, they start to catch up on you. But apart from that as well, it also does, your thyroid function does slow down, mm-hmm. during menopause. So, and I think they say it's up to around about 30% by the time you hit over 40, that it slows down, which that means your thyroid actually monitors your entire metabolic functioning as part of it. So, it's part of your metabolic functioning. So it's really important that you can work it. You don't have to give in to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Just because you're menopausal doesn't mean to say, I'm menopausal now, I'm going to be frumpy. You can say, okay, well, I'm menopausal now, I'm going to start eating according to my hormonal profile. I'm going to start taking out this, that, something else. I'm going to start to work on my thyroid, and I can actually help to bring it up again into normal functioning. It's also the changes in the estrogens and progesterones as well, which your body will naturally do what it needs to do during those times, but you can actually support it through that.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
So that's what I've done for you in essence with your program. So the first part being what I've identified. So I've sat down, gone through your program, identified those contributing factors, worked them in together, so, and hopefully in a nice, clear, concise way that you can understand it, and then worked out your food tables for you so that then you'll be able to apply those. Now, I've also, as part of it, the foods are using normal everyday foods as well. It's not like you have to do anything weird and wonderful. So even if you are on a low budget, you can actually just do the foods.
And
they will have a big impact. The beautiful third part of it as well is I have made some recommendations for you for some supportive nutrients just to help to kick you along a bit and also help to balance out those areas that have been under a little bit of strain over the years with the different things that you've been eating or the different lifestyle things. So you'll just sort of get to where you need to be a little bit quicker.
Good.
That's quick. That's what I've done. Yeah, quick's good, isn't it?
Quick's very good.
Yeah. So hopefully once you start applying those things and my recommendations, I really hope that you'll start to get the results that you need.
I do too. Well, maybe we should chat again next week and I can give you my first week's report.
Well, we look forward to that one.
Trust me, so do I.
Okay, Victoria.
Thanks. If you're still considering doing the Mass Attack program and need a bit more convincing, check out some of the testimonials on the site or visit bitesizecooking.com and watch my progress. Not only will you lose weight, but you'll get healthy in the process. I'm Victoria Hansen.